Welcome to another episode of the Lazy Moms Podcast. Today I have Miss Lynn Greenberg with me.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me, Lynn. Lynn and her son Jonathan are both authors. They wrote the book Robbie the Dyslexic Taxi and the Airport Adventure. It's a really cute book. I was actually reading it.
Thank you.
I'm going to definitely show my kids. And it's a really good book. So when you guys get a chance, go on and go buy it. Thanks. I am going to let Lynn tell us all about the book.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And John, you know, sends his regards. He's not only my co-author, he's my youngest son. He's the illustrator of this book. He did all the illustrations. He's the artist in the family. So he's getting a graduate degree in art, and he's in Chicago right now.
Oh, wow. So,
thanks. So he sends his regards. And John is dyslexic. And during the pandemic, he was home from college. You know, everyone was home, but
right.
But as an artist, it was very hard for him to do his work virtually. So he did some things, but he had some time to kill. And I was also reading on FaceTime to my grandchildren. And we sort of said, okay, you know, with our time besides baking, you know, what are we going to do here? And we started to talk about, well, wouldn't it be fun to maybe do a children's book? And, you know, well, what do we know about? We know about dyslexia, and, you know, children love books with cars and trucks and airplanes.
They sure do. Yes.
So we just sort of rolled with it, and Robbie the Dyslexic Taxi was born.
Wow. That's awesome. So you said he's the co-author and the illustrator?
Yes. So originally we thought I would write the book and he would do the illustrations. But as the dyslexic, and this is, you know, was a conversation about dyslexia, he had, you know, he had things to say. And so we decided to co-author it. There's no way I could help him illustrate. I'm really bad at stick figures. So he took that all on himself. And, you know, I know I'm prejudiced, but the illustrations are adorable, I think. And it reflects so much of who he is. And we've gotten such a positive response because I don't think that they're really books with neurodivergent characters for children. And we've decided to continue and write a series under the Creative Cab Company, which is where Robbie works. So, yep, this is the first in what we hope to be a series.
Oh, wow. That is so awesome. That'll definitely be something good to read, especially for little kids who may be going through the same thing, but they may see themselves as different and they don't have anything to like connect with. So to have a book like this, and you said you're doing a whole series, you know, that's definitely great because then they can connect with it depending on whatever they may be struggling with. So that's really awesome.
Thanks. That's our hope. Children should see themselves reflected in out there in the world and in the stories they're reading. So
yes, kids look for these things, but it's there's just so many books out there, and it's just so hard to find one that you connect with. So for the two of you to come up with this idea, and you know, there are a lot of people with dyslexia or any type of disability. So to see it, it's really nice.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So you said neurodivergent. So for those who don't know what is neurodivergent?
So I'm not an expert, but I am a mom who's definitely fluent now. But neurodivergent are differences, learning differences. They can be dyslexia, ADHD, autism, dyscalculia, dysgraphia. They are different. They are what makes everyone has a different learning style.
These
are things that people can test for and quantify. And so under the label of neurodivergent, there are quite a few subcategories, and dyslexia is one of them.
Oh, wow. So the two of you are planning on writing books in that whole community, you said?
Yes, that whole universe. The next one we're planning is about an ADHD character.
Oh, wow.
a lot of the things under the neurodivergent umbrella coexist. They call them comorbidities. So mm-hmm. many people with dyslexia also have ADHD or ADHD and dyscalculia, which is, you know, having trouble doing math. So we decided that Robbie, the dyslexic character, is going to introduce friends and who also have other issues. And hopefully as the series grows, people will see themselves in many different ways. And if they don't see it, maybe they have a friend who doesn't understand, who might like to learn about it, or a caregiver or a teacher, or just gives a conversation to so many in the community who need it.
That is awesome. That's definitely very much needed in our community, because like I said earlier, it's so hard to find the connection. So to have these books in this community to help those who don't feel connected is really awesome. So thank you for starting this series.
Appreciate it. And being on these wonderful podcasts is really giving voice to it. And hopefully, you know, people will hear the message and, you know, read the book, but also have conversations with the people they care about and who are curious or interested or feeling like they need a platform. So
right
having me on to talk about it.
And that's the whole point of, that's what you want to get out of books, though. You want to be able to have a book that you can have that conversation with. So it's really great to have something with the story that it's fun, it's entertaining, but it also comes with the message. And it's not a message just for you, it's also a message for your kids. The book is also teaching at the same time. So that's always really awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
This podcast is really mainly centered around parenting and parents. And as a parent with someone who has this dyslexia, how was it growing up, not for him, but for you, with raising him with this, I don't want to say disability, but this
difference. We call it a difference.
Yes. Or superpower.
Absolutely. We always call it a superpower. But, you know, to label being different any as a disability, I find, and especially John finds, and the community finds, a little bit offensive. So we call it a difference.
Right.
So John is my youngest of four kids. And, you know, everyone has a different learning style. Mm-hmm. But John definitely wasn't learning in a path that made a lot of sense. Was, you know, he could memorize every Thomas the Tank Engine when he was little, but not tell you that Thomas started with the letter T. He didn't want to sing the ABC song. He was having trouble in nursery school. He was unhappy, and you know, the nursery school teachers were like, well, he's a boy and he's just not that smart, and you know, like all these terrible. Repeat nursery school. I'm like, no.
Right.
Something is up. And as he went on in school, I didn't really know anything about dyslexia. And, you know, back then, almost 25 years ago, there wasn't a computer to go Google whatever
everything
I had trouble with. Right. So I started investigating. I have a wonderful friend who's a pediatrician, and you know, I started asking questions, and finally, you know, the school kept telling me the same thing. You know, he's just not that smart. He's acting out. And, you know, all these things that I knew weren't true and were hurtful and offensive.
Right.
And they didn't want to test him. And so I found somebody who would. And sure enough, classic dyslexic, super smart, but needed to learn how to read differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once we got the diagnosis, it was wonderful. John felt relieved because he now didn't have to think, well, you know, I'm not smart. Now he knew that there was a reason that he had trouble. He was super smart. And, you know, then the next part of the adventure was trying to figure out how to educate him so that he would learn how to read and write. And, mm-hmm. You know, but having that diagnosis, a lot of people say, do you really want that? And I say, absolutely. Don't be afraid of what, you know, what lies ahead. You need answers to help guide your children, I think.
Right. Yeah, I know people think, you know, having the diagnosis is like a label on your child, but like you said, it helps with answers because, like you said, John, teachers are telling him, you're not smart, you're not this. And as a child, you're taking it in and you're believing them because those are the adults around you. So to not know and just listening to the negativity of others is, yeah, it's terrible. So I mean, you don't want that label, but then you do, because then you're like, okay, I knew something was happening. And now it's like, all right, now I know what it is. And now we can move forward and figure out the best way to help him.
Absolutely.
And now they can stop saying he's not smart because he is smart.
Yeah. Because, and every time I see that nursery school teacher in my town, I'm like, do you know how hard, I hope you got a better education after we left your classroom.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That
it makes you so angry. I know.
Very. Like to tell a parent of a little child, like, oh my gosh.
Yep. Yeah.
That is just, oh my goodness.
We do so much damage, not we, but, you know, society does so much damage by labeling in a way that will affect their children. And it really took its toll on John. And having the diagnosis, though, absolutely made him feel relieved. But I would say that, and I think he would say, more importantly, that it definitely left a mark on him. And, you know, he's a wonderful, kind, and empathetic person, in part, I think, because of the fact that he didn't have that in his school when he was little. And, you know, once he got that label and we were ready to move forward, he felt relieved and much better about himself. And, you know, now he's an amazing artist going to grad school for that. So,
so how did he get into art?
When he was little and he couldn't read and write, he would express himself by drawing, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he'd look at the pictures in books, even if he couldn't, you know, we would read together, but he couldn't read the book. So he'd look at the pictures and start imagining the stories. And he found at an early age that he could express himself through his art. And then once he was remediated and he could learn how to read, he still thought, you know, this is really the way I love to express myself, not just with words, but with his art.
Dang.
That's how it grew.
That is so awesome. That is awesome. Does he do other, I know he's in school right now, but just like other art besides the illustrations for the books?
So in his school, his program, he learns all sorts of, you know, different medium and you know, he's doing drawing and painting. He works with charcoal. He works with, you know, every kind of material. He has different, he can paint on canvas. He can, you know, he's exploring all these options. And so some of his art is absolutely more serious and some is more whimsical, like the book. And he's very versatile and he's really enjoying learning, you know, he's done that before, but now he's really learning, you know, which different platforms, including, you know, some computer driven kinds of things, like, you know, not Pixar, but, you know, like those kinds of characters. So he's doing a lot of different things.
That is awesome. That's so awesome. To be able to find your niche and your love and like really just go gung-ho for it. And as a way of expressing himself, that's really good. That's really awesome, I should say, because like you said, at a young age, it was so hard to express through words. And a lot of kids find that drawing or art just kind of explodes all their emotions. So
we call it his superpower.
So. Right.
Yes.
So is this the first book that you have written, or have you written other books in the past?
This is the first book that I've written. I was an English major way back in the day in college. So, I, you know, Very long time ago. As my granddaughter said, you're old, Grandma.
Oh my gosh.
out of the mouth of babes, but yeah. Right. So, but I was an English major, so I did a lot of papers and creative writing, but never anything that was published. So this is my first book.
So how does it feel to be like a published author and get your story out there and have people read it and have such like, I know, like I said, I was starting to read it. And for me, it was good reviews for me thus far. So I'm sure you've had good reviews from others who read it.
We've had so much positive feedback. It's been really wonderful. And for me, you know, I used to be a lawyer. I'm very retired. And like I said, I raised 4 children and I had a cookie business for a while. And,
oh, wow.
But yeah, at my age, having a new career has been really exciting. I have to say it's been wonderful. And I've met so many wonderful people like you. And it's just really opened so many doors. It's been very exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah. Because being a lawyer is the complete opposite from being a writer. So that's
a very different kind of writing. You are not allowed to be creative in your writing when you're a lawyer. Nope. So very, very much particular words, commas, you name it.
Right. Oh my gosh. You're not as creative.
So now my creativity has come out.
So once you're done with this this neurodivergent community series of stories, do you think you'd hop into like a different avenues in your writing now that you've kind of gotten your feet wet and you're getting this like good feedback? Would you keep going, but in a different categories, I should say?
It's an interesting question. Thank you. Maybe. I think I'd like to try dipping my toe in somewhere else. But we'll see. We actually just started a newsletter on a platform called Substack. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm trying again to do some writing creatively and we'll see. I think it's a newsletter for anybody, but different people, different writers and others have their own newsletters. And so you can have different conversations. So, I'm trying, I'm thinking about it.
Well, so far so good. So
Thank you so much.
So we'll definitely be looking forward to like other stories by you and other stories in this series. This is what made you guys choose a taxi service and not like anything else?
So dyslexics are also sometimes, you know, have trouble like with their left and their right. Mm-hmm. When Sean was little, I know I'll hold my hand up and it'll be backwards, but I had to teach him, like, if you hold up your left hand,
that's how I learned.
It will make the letter L the opposite, you know, so you would know that this was right. Obviously, it's not making an R, but that was his cue so that he could sort of help himself. He had gotten, you know, lost a little bit because he wasn't sure which way, you know, like even in school, like taking a left and a right to find his classroom until he really committed that to memory. And then we thought a taxi who couldn't maybe read the signs, who might not know which way to go, how would that taxi find its way around? And we just thought, you know, we could have used a person, we could have used an animal, but we thought some kind of automobile or vehicle would be a way to go. And that's how Robbie was born.
I like that. Yeah. Cause you would think for most children's stories, people mainly gravitate towards animals or like you said, people. So having a taxi is definitely something different. It's eye catching and, you know, everybody gets into a car. So, and kids love cars. So,
you do. At least all of my children and now grandchildren. So, that's what I know.
Right. So. Exactly. Yeah. My son loves cars. He loves cars and dinosaurs. So, this would be right up his alley.
Absolutely. Dinosaurs are way up there. And it was interesting because we often do readings at school, at different schools. And one of the questions I got from one of the students one day was, are you going to do an EV car one day? Or are they only going to need gas?
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, well, I guess we know what decade we're in.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
I thought that was great.
That was. That is too funny. Oh, my goodness. An EV car.
Goodness gracious. I was like, I'm old, so we picked a car that needed gas.
Right. The kids of today. Goodness gracious. Well, I prefer a gas car. Thank you.
Like, I don't know if I can, if John would be like, how do we make a picture and we'll plug him in?
Right.
But it was very cute. I thought it was a cute question. So
that is. So you mentioned you read at schools. Have you read anywhere else? Like, where can people, so if people want to hear you read in person, is there like a certain place that they can go and see you and find those locations?
Thanks. Well, you can find us. We have social media and a website. It's called Creative Cab Company. Mm-hmm. And if that's something that interests you, sometimes depending on where people are, I can either, or John can go visit the school. Mm-hmm. We also can set it up so that we can do it virtually. We can send out like a PDF of the book. And if the school has the ability, they can put it on a screen and then we can read to them. And we've done that. You know, we love to go visit in person, but if we can't, John is actually in a couple of weeks going to read to a school in the UK. So
virtually. Okay. Hey, that's still something.
I'm sure he'd love to go, but he's doing it virtually. So they can reach out to us on either any of these platforms. And we'd be really happy to set that up.
So where can people go to purchase the book?
So you can, you know, go to Amazon. If you go into your local bookstore, they have the ability to order for you. And if you're having trouble finding it, you can go to the website or the social media platforms and DM me or send an email. And we'd be happy to get that to you. So, you know, if you're having trouble finding it.
Awesome. So I know you said your website earlier. Can you say it again? Then I'll make sure to put it down.
Oh, thanks. The where Robbie works is called the Creative Cab Company. And so all of our social media is Creative Cab Company.
Oh, that's cute.
Thanks. So Creative Cab Co, Creative Cab Company. And so if you go on Instagram or Facebook, or, you know, type it into a search engine, you can find the website as well. And there's a way to get in touch with us. So,
okay. You
know, we'd love to hear from anybody, you know, questions, opinions. So that's probably the easiest way to find us.
Thank you to all my listeners. Remember, go on Amazon, go on all of their social media handles, the Creative Cab Company, and you will be able to find copies, well, a way to order the book. So what's the ages for the book?
I would say it's like nursery school through, you know, first grade. But if you're having trouble reading, you know, if you're dyslexic, sometimes we printed the book in a dyslexic friendly font. So even children who are a little older, who might be struggling a little, can certainly read the book, or, you know, learn how to read the book and enjoy it as well. From what, you know, we've heard from people who have read it. And, you know, from John, who's obviously remediated, but a dyslexic mind sees it a little differently and finds it a little easier. So.
That's awesome. Thanks. That is definitely awesome. And I am definitely looking forward to all the other books as well. Because it's like I said, it's so interesting and really good to see these types of books that can actually connect with little kids who are going through certain things that they may not know what it is, or, you know, they may not have figured out what makes them different or what makes them have their superpower. So having these sort of books out that they can connect with and really be like, oh, that's what I was going through. Okay, now I don't feel so bad, because look at that. You know, you have stories like Robbie and this person's going through that. So I don't feel so bad about myself, as they should not. So
I totally agree. I think it's really important for people to understand that difference isn't a negative.
Right. And,
you know, hopefully this book, you know, opens up conversations. And I would say to parents, caregivers, you know, if you think something is wrong, different, don't let people tell you that you know there's something wrong. You know, go with your gut, explore it. Don't stop until you find out the answer that best fits your child.
Right.
Because I think we think, you know, the teachers and the experts are going to be right, and honestly, they're not. So, I mean, sometimes they are, but you do have to explore until you find the right expert, the right answer for your child. And so I think that's the biggest takeaway from what I went through with John. Just go with your gut. Don't listen to all the negativity. Find out what you think you need to do for your child.
Right. Because like you said, all the experts, sometimes they're right, but sometimes they're not. But you know your child best. So if you know that something's going on and they're telling you, oh, no, it's not that, it's this. Like, no, I know. I definitely know my child and I know this is going on. So it's good to be present and in the know of what's going on and not just, like you said, rely on the experts all the time. And it's always good to get a second opinion.
Absolutely.
Never feel bad about that.
I couldn't agree more.
So do you think this being an author will be like the I know you said you're very retired from being a lawyer.
Very. Some people say actually, you know, remediated from it. I am done.
So would being an author be your last career that you want to continue with to produce more books?
Well, I definitely want to explore this further, but you know, this came up unexpectedly. So I think like anything else, you know, keep all your options open. You know, the world is such an interesting place. Yes. Don't pigeonhole yourself. Explore, keep growing. And I hope that's what I'm doing and the example I'm setting, you know, for my children and my grandchildren and my family, because this has been a really wonderful journey to do this, but also to do it with one of my children. It's been great. And so I think everyone should, to the best of their abilities, keep the door open and invite new things in.
Right. That's some awesome advice.
Thank you.
So how are you and Robbie doing with this newfound fame? Because this is fame with everybody reading your books and getting in contact with you, bring you on to their schools and everything, coming on to various podcasts to talk about this. Has this been like just a great experience or eye-opening in regards to you thought it was going to be something small and now it's like blowing up into this whole big thing?
I honestly, when we did it, we really thought, you know, we'll have our family, we'll buy the book and, you know, and the way it's exploded has been so amazing. I mean, we're so appreciative. It's just, I think it touched a nerve for a lot of people. And, you know, we couldn't be happier. It's definitely not what we expected. But by the same token, we've embraced how receptive and positive everyone has been. And we've really enjoyed the journey, I have to say. And it's been wonderful to experience with one of my kids. You know, John and I decided early on, we weren't just going to be mother and son, but we had to now be business partners. And we've navigated that, I have to say. And that's been a really great experience as well.
That is so awesome. Now, are you connected with like a publishing company or is this more an independent publishing?
Right now it's independent.
Good.
Certainly, yeah, thanks. I mean, we'd be open to anything, but right now we're enjoying having control. So we're happy with the self-publishing part of it. But like I said, we're, you know, in the effort to continue to grow, we're happy to explore different options, but we always want to be able to have the final say. So we'll see what happens.
All right. That's what I was, as you were talking, I'm like, with having a publishing company is great because they have more resources and getting and pushing the book out. But at the same time, it's like, then you get stuck on deadlines. And this got to get done. And oh yeah, remember, you're supposed to do another book in the series. So you got to get it done in like 2 months. And it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work, especially because John is in school and we're in two different states at the moment. And, you know, thank goodness there's Zoom and computers and fax machines and, you know, all of it. But, you know, on the other hand, to be realistic, you know, it would be very hard to be told who, what, how, where, and when. So this is working best for us right now.
Right. Well, I am certainly looking forward to reading the other books in the series. And I'm going to, my daughter, well, all my kids like to read, but my daughter likes to have her little collection of books. So I'm going to definitely go on your site and order one of the books for her. She's probably going to be like, a car. You know, I don't like cars. So she's going to give it to her brother, which is fine.
That's what my granddaughter said. She's like, Grandma, Why do they only have to be cards in the book? I'm like, well, you know, there are people.
And, right.
And you're one of them. You know?
Oh, that is so sweet. So yes. Are the characters in the book after, like, mirrored after family members?
Well, in name. John is actually, of all my children, you know, the only one who was diagnosed with dyslexia. But there's definitely ADHD and other things in all of my gene pool. So, which is great. I think it's a conversation that, you know, and all their significant others bring so many different things to the table. But as we continue to do the series, you know, there's a nod to all the family who's been wonderful and supportive. So.
Aw, that is awesome. I know sometimes when folks write books, they try to, not try to, sometimes it's inadvertent where you create a character and it reminds you of someone in your family or your friends. And it's like, wait a minute, that sounds like me.
Well, these, you know, we mostly just, you know, wanted to give a nod to everybody. There's nobody, you know, like I said, John is Robbie. But other than that, the other characters were just sort of, you know, saying hi to the family. So
that is so awesome. Well, thanks. Thank you so much for coming onto my podcast and sharing your story and sharing your book with me and my listeners. So most definitely, all of you go on to their social media handles and find the book. It is Robbie, the Dyslexic Taxi and the Airport Adventure. And as Lynn stated, there's going to be other books in the series. So definitely continue to go on and look for more. And Lynn, could you let us know again how we can get a hold of a copy of a book? Like, where can we go to order?
Thank you. I really appreciate this. So you can definitely go on Amazon and like I said, if you go into some of the local bookstores, you know, do not carry the book, but you can ask them and they can order it on different platforms called like bookshop.org or even barnesandnoble.com, which you can actually also go to as well. But if you do go into your local bookstore, they can do that. And if they're having trouble, if they go to our website, Creative Cab Company, there are links there, or they can reach out to us that way as well and ask how to get it. And we'd be happy, really happy to work that out with them.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you again for coming on and sharing your story, your book with me and my listeners. And I really hope this continues to balloon because, like I said, it's so great to see these stories that connect so well with kids going through different things. And we don't have a lot of that. So
thank you so much for having me and for, you know, giving voice to this. I think it's great and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Oh, Oh, thank you. Well, everyone, just remember, go on to Amazon and Barnes & Noble to find Robbie the Dyslexic Taxi and the Airport Adventure. And remember, all her and Robbie's social media platforms are the Creative Cab Company. So certainly go on, and when the new book comes on, make sure you hop and get one of those books. If you have kids who love cars, this is for you. If you have kids who may be struggling with different things, this is for you. This is a story that connects with everyone. Or if you're an adult, let me not say just kids. This is for all of us.
Thank you so much again. This has been really wonderful.
And thank you, Lynn. And thank you, everyone. Just remember to come on next week for a brand new episode of